That video just made me want to go to the youth group. Come on. That's good. Wow. I'm just too old, though. Gosh, that was so good. What a good morning already, right? You know what I've come to realize? We have no B-team worshipers at Hope. They're all A-team. They're all anointed. They're just all in that place, and they carry such an anointing. We are so blessed here. Years ago, somebody came to me, gave me a prophetic word, and they said, the Lord is raising up an arsenal of worshipers in this place. And I see it every time I stand on the floor and watch our team just worship. It's so good. So thankful. Today's a good day, isn't it? It's a good day. It is a good day to be alive, and I am so thankful for this church. Is anybody else? When I say I'm so thankful for this church, what I'm saying is I'm so thankful for you, because you're the church. Thankful for the building, but I'm thankful for you. You're the church, and with every other believer, we are the church of Jesus Christ. We're the expression of God here on the earth. I've shared this in several different settings, something that the Lord showed me several months back now, but we were in the middle of worship, and I was leading that day up here on the stage, and it was just packed out, both services, and it was just a moment. Everybody was just really in the presence of God, and I just felt like the Lord was like, look across this room today. These are the spiritual mothers and fathers in this place. These are the disciple makers for the church that is coming, for the harvest that is coming. These 1,000 people that call church, Hope Church, their home, they aren't even the actual church yet. The real church is coming. These are just the leaders. These are just the ones that are going to father and mother the spiritual sons and daughters. Does that speak to you? Man, this just opened my heart up. You know, with what God is doing and with God is about to do, we need everyone in the room. We need everyone in the room growing, and we need everybody in the room walking into what you are carrying, the fullness of the gifts that are in you. We need everybody. Church, we need everybody. It's not possible for you to be in this and sitting on the sidelines. We need everybody active, everyone active in what they're carrying and releasing the gifts that are in them. So many wonderful things are happening here at Hope. Gosh, that was just some of them. And is it okay if I just start today by highlighting a few? Because I was thinking about all the things that God's been doing through Hope, and we're the kind of place that we don't like to just talk a lot about ourselves, but I think it's really not talking about us, it's actually talking about what God is doing in great people like you. And all over this community, man, God is just doing amazing things. And today starts an amazing thing because life groups this semester start, and we have over 375 people in life groups that are over 30 groups meeting all over the city. Today it starts. 375 people gonna get together and grow in community and relationships and grow spiritually together. And not only that, they're gonna see the kingdom of God break out in ways that they never imagined. That starts today. Can you imagine the transformation that's going to come from these groups, people meeting in homes and coffee shops? It's awesome. It starts today. And we have those are all led by just people in the church, 30 leaders that said, I want to step out and I want to like see what God will do through me. So good. Last week we started something really awesome for the first time called Hope Intro. We've been talking about it. And we had 35 people come last week. Hope Intro is going to start at the first of every month, so it runs every month. It's just a four-week class, and it's finally a way that we have for new people to come in, hear the heart and the vision, find out what's in them, and then find out ways that they can release what's in them. We've never had it before. We're preparing for something big. We're preparing for something big. We're preparing for something big. And I haven't even hardly had any coffee this morning. And I'm pumped. Okay, I am pumped, and it's not caffeine. I am excited for what God's going to do. I'm going to talk more about that. Our 18-week discipleship course, Roots, you've heard about it through the years. We have seen nearly 500 people go through that course and grow their roots deep. It's like a college-level Bible college course. People learning the foundations, learning the truth, discipled. Come on, that deserves a shout, right? I mean, think about this. That many people on the earth now of Springfield, the earth called Springfield, Missouri, in this area, carrying truths unlike anything they've carried before. And what I love is that it's taught by teachers in the church. It's not just like pastors and staff people. It's actually just all of us teaching, that people walking in those gifts of teaching and releasing and imparting. It's so awesome. You saw the 45 thing. That's been going on over 10 years. I added it up. That's over 5,000 hours of prayer and worship that has gone up before the Lord to agree with him in his heart. That's been filled with like leaders and people from all over the church. That hasn't been run by just our staff. Pastor Charity leads that, but it's been like all of you standing in that place and saying, God, we're hungry for you. We're thirsty for you. 10 years of it, not to mention all the other worship and prayer that's happened. During the 45, this is so awesome. We added a couple years ago healing rooms and prophetic rooms, which happens. People, teams of people are here to pray for people that are sick. I went the other day. I've been having vocal issues, and I came in here, and they prayed for me, and I left as encouraged as I've ever been, and the Lord actually began a work then that my voice has been working a lot better. I mean, people are coming in here being healed, guys. We have an army of people that are walking in the prophetic team. Some people get weirded out by that, but really it's just a group of people that say, I want to hear from the Lord and bless you with encouragement and exhortation and build you up. So now we got like 100 people that come every time, once a month, to receive words of encouragement, prophetic words from the Lord. It's awesome. Who likes to be encouraged? Yeah, come to a prophetic room. Get an encouragement. It's so good. I was thinking about our ministry team. We have like over 100 people on our ministry team that come week after week up here and pray for people, and story after story of healings and freedom and ministries happening all over the place. I mean, you don't even have to come up here. They just grab you sometimes and want to pray for you. That happened to me today. I was like, okay, here we go. So good. I just heard a story. There's tons of them I could tell. Do you like good news, by the way? Because if you don't, you don't want to hear this message, because it's all good news. That's what the gospel is, right? I just heard this story a couple of days ago of somebody that came last week to pray for a friend who had pancreatic cancer. So they came, they agreed, and they prayed, and they just got the report a couple days ago that this person, between last week and today, went in for a scan, and the pancreatic cancer is gone. They are cancer-free. Come on. Come on. Let's give him a shout of praise for this. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I hear story after story of just regular, normal people out and about all over the city just doing the works of Jesus. I heard this story just a couple of days ago about Heather and Jonas. They go here. They're from Hope. And they walked into McDonald's. I didn't know anybody even ate there anymore. But I'm sorry. If you do, that's awesome. do people still go to McDonald's? I'm sorry if I offended you. Bless McDonald's, Lord. Bless their food. It needs a lot of blessing, actually. Actually, you know, as I've looked in the window of McDonald's as I've driven by, they've kind of like gotten classy in there. So, yeah, just we bless them, Lord. Bless McDonald's. Yeah, so Heather and Jonas, back to the point. Heather and Jonas, Charity is shaking her head. This is not good. Heather and Jonas from Hope, they walked into McDonald's, and the Lord directed them to this young man who was there in this McDonald's. And it turns out he was addicted to meth and had literally just lived a total life of rejection. I think he's like 20. And the Lord actually drew this guy to Heather and Jonas, and they ended up praying with him right there in McDonald's, having this moment with the Lord. And it gets better. And an hour later, I guess they just, I don't know how this happened, but they went and they picked him up. And they brought him to a worship night at somebody's house, and they were worshiping and praying, brought him to this house and this friend's house. And they said they worshiped, they prayed, and by the end of the night, this guy was set free. He was healed physically from something. He was sober. He was filled with fire, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on. This just happened like last week. So there's more to the story. Yeah, no, this didn't happen last week. This happened a couple weeks ago. So she says to me, she says, 2 weeks later, meaning like now, he is now prophesying. He's now praying for people. He's totally free, and he's growing in truth. That is awesome. I believe that this is just the beginning of what is coming for us. Because Springfield's got a lot of issues, and we're here to deal with the issues, right? That's why we're here. It's not even touching what's happening in the children and the youth, right? There's stuff happening all the time. I just talked to Vicky this morning that our two-year-olds are like laying hands on two-year-olds to be healed. So, like Kinsey, she teaches a class, and she's like, when a new kid comes, they gather the 2-year-old kids, and they lay their hands on the new kid, and they bless them. The adults, we should do that more. Yeah, right? I mean, so awesome. Regular stories, though, from the youth and the children, from kids getting saved and coming to the Lord, kids being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, just stuff is happening. Stuff is happening. You know, when Jesus said in Matthew 10, he said that he gave us authority over unclean spirits and to heal every disease and every affliction, he wasn't kidding. He wasn't kidding about it. He's like, no, I'm not just going to tell you a good idea about something that happened. He's like, I'm going to tell you this and give you authority so you can do it. So you can do it. And I can say with my whole heart that I believe as a church, as a place, we are moving more and more and more into it. What Jesus told us to do. Just the stories are happening left and right. He wasn't kidding when he said in Matthew 28 to make disciples. We're taking it seriously. And by we, I mean we. I don't mean like the staff is running all this. I mean the church. You're the church. He's doing it through you. You're not waiting for a program to start. You're actually doing it. We need programs because we need ways and structures for people to grow together. But you're taking the initiative because you're carrying the goodness of God. And yet there's still so much more to do, right? He's inviting us into so much that he just wants to blow our minds. Amen? I was reading this Isaiah 54 out of the Message, and I love it. And I feel like it's a word for us today. I think I lost my phone somewhere. Oh, is it down there? Rubes, you want to bring it to me real quick? I got my 4-year-old, 5-year-old little Ruby here today. Isn't she so cute? I shouldn't have said that. She's never going to come in here. I thought maybe she came in here to like hear me preach, but she actually came in here to hear Tyler lead worship. Because she likes him. I mean, like, as a awesome person. Yeah. Right? We like Tyler, right? Yes, we do. Okay, Isaiah 54. Guys, second service is going to be awesome. You should come to that one. It's going to be good. Okay, Isaiah 54. I feel like this is a word for us right now, and the Message reads it like this. Verse 2 says, clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be embarrassed. Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short. Come on. I just declare that over everybody in this place. I declare that over us as a church. I believe even what Charity did this last week in recording is breaking many people into new places of spreading the tents, spreading the tent pegs, and digging them down deep because we got to make room for what's coming. And I don't just mean a building. A building is just scratching the surface of what this is about, you guys. Don't ever think that as you see this building going up, that this is about just a building. It's important, and we need you to give, and we need your help on this. But this is about kingdom expansion. This is about a season of expansion for us. It's a season of expansion for you and your family. It's a season of dreaming, making room for the harvest that is coming here in Springfield. The thinking that has gotten us here isn't going to get us to where we're going. The thinking that I've had that has got me to this point at 41 years old is not going to get me to where I'm going. Sure, there's going to be foundations and things that will never change, promises that are true, but I believe the Lord is saying, I'm taking you to a new place, and it's an expanded place, and you've got to open up your heart and open up your mind and walk into it with me, because it's big. It's time to think big. It's time to think big. It's time to lift up our eyes. I spoke a message last year that said, look up. It's time to look up. It's time to lift up our gaze beyond just what we see. You know, the enemy wants us to get hung up in what isn't. He loves to get us all tied up and tangled in what isn't and what hasn't been. Have you ever had that happen? He loves to just come in and say, oh, well, this can't ever happen, and that can't ever happen, and that won't happen, and that, oh, look at that. That's all just a bunch of tangly junk. And the Lord says, I want you to look up, because what I'm doing in you is an expansion, and if I say it, it's going to happen. If I say it, it's going to happen. Some of us have allowed circumstances and mindsets to close in on us and take our vision. And I'm telling you, today is a day of freedom in this area for us. Because Jesus is always leading us into what can be. I'll get to more of that. Think about this. I was thinking about this over the weekend. That God who made the universe and everything in it knew that you were going to be alive today here in Springfield, Missouri, on planet Earth, February 12, 2017. Turn to somebody and just be like, I'm glad you're alive. You're here. You made it. And think about this. When he made up his plan for the ages, you were in it to be here now. You are in it to be here now. And I was thinking about just the enormous history between God and man over all these thousands of years. And as we approach the culmination of time, here we are today, alive and breathing. You know, you could have been born 100 years ago. You could have been born 1,000 years ago. Or you could have not been born. No, I'm serious. Really, think about this. You could have been born 100 years ago. You could have been born 2,000 years ago. But no, you were born for this time. You are alive. And what are we alive for, right? What are we alive for? Why did God choose to have us breathing today? Why are y'all looking at me? I'm going to give you the mystery of the ages is going to be revealed to you right now. I'm kidding. I want to suggest to you, though, we're going to hit this. I want to suggest to you today that you weren't born in this time just to get a job and pay your bills. You should do that. You were not born for this time just to live an American dream. And hey, I love a lot of the things about an American dream, but that isn't why you're alive. And it certainly wasn't that you just come to church services, and you should come. It wasn't just to get saved either and go to heaven. I am so thankful for the blood of Jesus. I mean, we could just spend all morning thanking him for his blood and thanking him for his goodness and what he's done and what he paid for and the life that he set us free from. But I just want to declare to you that that is just the beginning of the beginning. It really is. It really is the beginning of the beginning. I love this quote I read from Bill Johnson. They're going to put it on the screen. And it says this, we must not confuse our destiny with our assignment. Heaven is my destiny, while bringing the kingdom is my assignment. I'll go ahead with the clap on that one. That's good. Heaven is my destiny, while bringing the kingdom is my assignment. In the life of every believer, I believe through relationship, we are here and breathing and living, not just to do, like I said, your job or pay your bills. We're here to partner with Father, Son, Holy Spirit to bring the kingdom of heaven here on earth as it is in heaven. Let's listen to what King David said. He wrote this in Psalm 8, and he said this. He said, oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic. I was actually singing the Sandy Patty version of that. Sorry. Anyone who's like 35 or 40 and older, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is... Whoa. Guys, I loved Sandy Patty. I did. I loved her. She was it. What is happening to me? Okay, Psalm 8. I hope you're getting this. If not, you're gonna. Psalm 8. Our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You've taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and I see the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them, yet you made them only a little lower than God. And crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority. The flocks and the herds and the wild animals and the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea and everything that swims with ocean current. Oh Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Church, you have been crowned with glory and honor. You have been crowned with glory and honor, and God has given you charge. He's given us charge of everything that he's made. He's put everything under our authority. In other words, we've been born again to rule and reign with God. We've been born again to rule and reign with God. And we don't do it in the way that we see a lot of ruling and reigning on the earth right now. We do it in the ways of Jesus, right? That's a different sermon. I'll get into that another time. But we are here to see the ever-increasing government of God exhibited in the affairs of mankind. That's why we're here. Have you thought that? Whatever influence you have, whatever it is that you are at in life, in your everyday life, you are here to see the government of God increased in that place. Whatever it is, I love this, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. I've said this a lot lately. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. How many need some peace right now? And of his peace and of peace, there shall be no end. There is no end to the increase of the government of God. I just want to declare this to you because you know what? In the day we live in, governments and all the turmoil and the unrest in the world and in our country, they all seem so big and big and big and big. And yet the Lord's like, my government, there is no end to it. How many are glad that's why you're in the kingdom? That's why you're in the kingdom of God. That is our final authority on everything. There's no end to the increase of peace. It's always progressing. It's a progressing kingdom. And you know how it progresses? It progresses through surrendered believers. In other words, Jesus and his kingdom are getting into everything. Jesus and his kingdom, they're getting into everything. They're getting into family. They're getting into marriage. They're getting into the marketplace. They're getting into your job. They're getting into the way you raise your kids. He's getting into the way you love your neighbor. Every place of influence, that's what we're talking about here. There is no compartmentalization or separation. He wants into everything, amen? On earth as it is in heaven. So whatever's inconsistent with heaven, we talk about this a lot around here, he's bringing his kingdom to it and he's doing it through us. Disease and torment. Hatred, division. Poverty. Sin in every form of bondage. Every form of bondage. How do we know this? Because why did Jesus come? The Bible says several different things in different places, but one that stands out to me is in 1 John 3:8. For this was the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of the evil one. This was the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of darkness. So every dark thing that is inconsistent with heaven and the kingdom of God, everything that is inconsistent with that has to bow at the name of Jesus. And I feel like we're in a place where this has got to rise up within us way beyond a mental assent to it, but actually something that we carry. The kingdom that we're carrying rises up in the midst of things that are wrong, and we say no. We don't care what the doctor said, that you have 3 weeks to live. We say no to that because that is not consistent with what heaven says. And I'm not talking about a pretend kind of Christianity. There's difficult stuff, and there are prayers that have gone unanswered. That's not in opposition to what I'm saying. I'm saying we're pressing in for more. We're pressing in for an increase of the kingdom. That's not contradicting what I said. Do you understand? Okay, I want to make sure because the room got really weird. Yeah. I was just imagining this. Can you imagine? Just imagine, like the sign says. Just imagine. It just happens to be behind me. Just imagine kingdom-minded sons and daughters who begin seeing our planet restored through signs and wonders and miracles. Can you just imagine it? I mean, really, imagine these 300 people in this room seeing Springfield restored through signs and wonders, seeing meth addicts set free just like that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine like entrepreneurs and business people seeing the economy restored and providing ways for everyone to have enough so there's no longer poverty? Whew. Can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine? Did you know that we're actually here to bring solutions to those problems? That we're not here just to come to church and write checks and say, God bless everyone. We're actually to get our hands dirty. That we're actually here to like get into the culture of Springfield and the city and see in 2018, Springfield a year from now, in February 12th of 2018, we can say this changed and that changed and that changed because God gave a dream and we walked it out. Increase of his government. Can you imagine kingdom-minded men and women who speak into families and see marriages restored, and see brokenness and relationships restored? Can you imagine that? Can you just imagine what that would be? The increase of government, the government of God in those places. Can you imagine, like, just imagine kingdom dreamers who dream up kingdom ways to put orphans in families. That's been, like, burning in my heart. You know, the orphans in our area, this is our watch, guys. We can't just be like, oh, I don't know about that. No, we got to know about that. We got to care about that. Can you imagine the foster care system being put out of business because the church rose up and said, we got to get our arms around these orphans and bring them in. Jesus wants us to care about this for our city. He wants us to care about these things. And I believe actually today that we have people in the room that carry the answers to this. I believe that we have people in this place that carry it. And some of you know you carry it. I'm looking out here and I see like three people that I know right now carry such an anointing for family and fathering. To come and help families raise and bring the kingdom of God to other families and fathers and mothers who've never been equipped to know what it is to be a godly father, mother. Can you see this? Can you just imagine this? Us walking into this where Springfield looks so different in 5 years from now because the kingdom has advanced. Church, we gotta dream a bigger dream. We're not here just to survive. We are here to thrive and to release the kingdom of God. I believe this. I believe the Lord wants to snatch us out of every complacent part in this next season because there is a stretch for us as hope. There is a stretch here that we're stretching to this next place. And it's going to take us being out of mediocrity and not caring about things. It's going to take us to not be self-absorbed and consumed with our own stuff. It's going to take us shifting to Him and God breathing His dream in our dreams where we impact this city like never before. Do we want to just be a church of a few hundred people or 1,000 people? Or do we want to be a place that literally transforms this area? Some of you might be sitting here today thinking, wow, he's just all really hyped up about this. No, this has been a growing thing in all of us, many of us around here. Our leadership is hungry to see us walk into this. This isn't just a Sunday thing. Pastor Gary's heart is the pent-up desire of God to pour out his spirit. What does that look like? It looks like a transformed culture. These words... Just imagine that you've been seeing, and you are seeing, don't only represent you giving money to furnish rooms for the new building. They do represent that, and that's really important, and we need those, and I'll hit that in a little bit. But these words, I believe today for us as a broader word, represent an invitation to dream with God. I believe the words, just imagine, they're words that they're an invitation for us to dream with God about what can be. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Isn't that so good? Did you know that God wants to get into your imagination? He wants to get into your imagination. When I pray for people, oftentimes the Lord will give me a prophetic picture for people, and I'll see things that came out of nowhere, and I know it's him. How do you think that that comes? That comes through holy imagination. Don't worry, I'm not going New Age. I can feel it on you. You're worried. God wants to get into, he wants to blow our minds with the imagination of heaven. He wants to give us pictures and things that we'll create. He wants to release a creativity in us that transforms culture. How do you think that comes? You imagine it up. And it isn't vain imagination. It's Holy Spirit, righteous imagination. Your eye hasn't seen, your ear hasn't heard. Your mind has not imagined what Jesus has planned for us. Do you believe that this morning? The Spirit of God is here to help lead us into these things and show us the deep secrets of God. I feel like prophesying over us as a community today that our dreams have been too small. Your dreams have been too small. Josh Thompson's dreams have been too small. God has been challenging me on my dreams and what I'm even on the planet for, and they've been way too small. And we need to get rid of this whole like false humility things that says that we can't do great things. We were born to do great things. Somebody said the other day to me, they said, you know, yeah, this is awesome, but it's not me, it's not me. I'm like, no, it is you. It's you and God. It's you and God together. If you were made in the image of God, do you not have greatness in you? Do you not have power in you that's the Spirit? Let's not be falsely humble. We'll never get anything done. Let's step up and say, yeah, I got some stuff in me. I got some good stuff in me. Has nothing to do with pride. Yeah, if there's pride, then we'll deal with that. This is about God's purposes in a person bring confidence. Church, God wants us to walk in confidence, a humility with confidence, where you're like, yeah, God said a yes on that, and I'm walking into that, and I'm doing it in humility, but man, I am carrying something. I want to prophesy that over to you. Your dreams have been too small. As I was praying this week, what I imagined in my heart is as I was praying, I felt like I saw the Lord giving keys to everybody all over the room. Literally, I saw people given keys, and everybody got a key. It was like he was like jingle jangling them, you know? He's like, here you go. And he was so happy. That's literally the picture I got. And he was like giving a key, and everybody got one. There wasn't anybody that didn't get a key. And what was the key? The key opened doors of greatness. The key opened doors to great influence. Because he trusts you, and because he wants you to expand beyond where you have been. Jeremiah 33, 2 through 3, it just says this, call to me and I will answer you. What a promise, right? Call to me and I will answer you, and I'll tell you marvelous and wonderful things that you could have never figured out on your own. I love our vision statement here at Hope. And most of you have heard it. I'm going to ask them to put it up there on the screen. And this is our vision statement here at Hope. And it's simply this, that we would grow a relational, can we read it together? That we would grow a relational, is it up there? Not yet. There we go. I see it on the other screen. On three, that we would grow a relational, functional, spirit-filled family that provides a living demonstration of the kingdom of God. In other words, whether we're here in Springfield or anywhere, we want to be doing what Jesus would do if he were us. Come on. How powerful is that? To grow a relational, functional, spirit-filled family that provides a living demonstration of the kingdom of God on earth, whether we are in this room, or we're out on the streets, or we're in our homes, or we're in our offices, or we're at school, or we're in Africa, or we're in China, or we're in Guatemala, wherever we are, that we are doing what Jesus would do, bringing the kingdom of God. Through relationship, through knowing with him, everything in the kingdom is family, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, relationship. We know this. Jesus says this in John 15. He says, I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends. Whew. Because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. That is so good. That is so good. That is so good. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. I've actually named you friends because I've let you in on everything. Everybody say everything. Everything. I've heard from the Father. Church, he's letting us in on everything. The invitation is there. And if he's letting us in on everything, it's time to expand. In here, out there, it's time to expand. I'm closing in just a minute. Romans 8 is so good. And the whole chapter is so good. The whole Bible is so good, right? The whole Bible. Genesis to Revelation, so good. Romans 8, 15 to 17 says this in the message. This resurrection life that you've received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant. Greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is. We know who we are. Father, children, and we know we are going to get what's coming to us. An unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. This isn't a timid, grave-tending life. We are not here to live a timid, grave-tending life, just trying to not sin. We are here and alive to be adventurously expectant every day. Do you believe that? That we wake up in the morning and we greet God and we say, well, good morning, Holy Spirit. And we say, what's next, Papa? That's the vision. That's the relational family. That's what bringing the kingdom is. That's how the increase of his government has no end, because we get to do it through relationship, father and child, because he's let us in on everything and we get to dream with him. We know who he is. And every lie that comes and says he's something that he's not, we dismiss and we say, ha, 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 ha. No way. No way. That nagging fear, that thing that's saying, I can't, that isn't God, because everything that my father says is rooted in hopefulness. No way. No way. That's not God. We know who he is. How do we know who he is? Because we've been in the word and we've been digging deep and we've been plowing and we've been getting the heart of who he is. We say, no, that's not him. And we know who we are. So when those small-minded things come into our minds that say, oh, you can't do that. You can't. Oh, no, 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 no. I know who I am because I know who he said I was. And I know the promise that he gave me, and I get to walk in that promise. That's what I'll say. Because he's our father, and we're his children, and we're confident about what's coming to us. I always think of that. It's not how I grew up, but, you know, you're going to get what's coming to you. When I read that, it was kind of like that, and I didn't read the next part. You're going to get what's coming to you. I feel like a lot of people are living like that with God. Just wait. You're getting what's coming to you. I know what you did last summer. You know what I'm saying? Do you ever live with that a little bit? When we sin, we confess our sins and we get it out because he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And then you know what we get what's coming to us? Glorious inheritance. Not just in heaven right now. On earth as it is in heaven. Hard times, yeah, we're going to have them. I'd say the last several years have probably been some of the hardest for my wife and I for multiple reasons, but we are pressing through because he's been with us in the good times and he's with us in the hard times, and we still declare all of this is true. His kingdom is expanding. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? I hope you picked up something. I know the Spirit of the Lord spoke to you today because he's speaking to me and he's in the room today, right? And if we're surrendered or we have just even a little yes, he will tell us what to do. But I always like to give some next steps. I feel like next steps are really important. So here's a few things I want to throw out there to you as we close, and I'm going to pray. Next steps. I love the words, like I said, just imagine behind me. I feel like the next step in this building expansion, which is the kingdom expansion just of our building, that's just a piece of it. We're preparing a place for kingdom equipping to happen. Do you know that? I mean, I just went and looked back there. Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. The student area, the kids area is just unbelievable. And when I hear what's happening in our culture, I think, awesome. All of what we're seeing already is just giving more room to expand for more kids to enter into kingdom life. So this is a huge part. The fellowship hall is going to give us 500 seats in there where more people are able to do a third service, where more people can come in and the kingdom of God can expand, right? So these are important things. It's not the whole pie. It's a piece that's very important. And so we want you to, as Pastor Gary said last week, go on that website. I think they've got a slide there. Just imagine that we had a slide behind me. Oh, there it is. Bam, look at that, it appeared. You can go to that website and you can see the different ways that you can give. You can give something very small and you can give something very large, and you can return to the site and give as many times as you want. Maybe the Lord will move your heart and say, I want to support this area. I want to support this room to furnish this building for kingdom expansion. Amen? Isn't that good? It's good. We get to do that together. The second thing I just want to encourage you to do is a very practical thing. I want to just challenge you. There's no bondage on this. If your heart says yes to it, do it. for the next 30 or 40 days, when you lay your head down at night and you end your day, I want you to do it with thanksgiving. I want you to do it where you take a scripture, or maybe you just worship yourself to sleep. For the next 30 or 40 days, don't let it be TV. Don't let it be anything other than your last thoughts are going to sleep with him. And then when you wake up in the morning, let your first thoughts, bring your thoughts captivity captive and say, I have an adventurous expectation. And then you say, what's next, Papa? What do we get to do today? What do we get to do today? And we refuse that timid, grave-tending life. I think the outpouring is going to come like never before if we just do that. You guys up for that with me? Get in the Word every day, even if it's just a verse. Get the Word in you. Every day, worship. Worship in your car. Worship in the shower. Worship on the toilet. Worship. I mean, just worship. It doesn't matter. I say the toilet because I think God wants to show up in the bathroom. I'm serious. Just, I tell you, you just bring your heart before him. Throughout, and then it's going to turn into more and more and more and more and more. Okay? So I'm going to pray for you. Lift your hands, would you? I pray right now for Holy Spirit imagination. All over this room, the Lord is handing out keys to everybody. There is no one left out. Everyone gets a key because everyone is important and everybody carries heaven. Everyone in this room, holy imagination, creative ideas, ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts and minds to imagine, creativity from heaven. And you're going to turn these keys. I just want you actually to, in your mind, this will sound a little crazy, because I'm just declaring it. You getting that key and you putting it in that door because you're refusing to be timid. You're turning that key and that door is going to open up to what he's calling you to expand for him in Jesus' name. I pray you'd give visions right now. Holy Spirit vision. Holy Spirit vision right now. Holy Spirit, inspiration right now. Yeah, great and marvelous things that you could have never figured out on your own, you're going to do. And you're going to join him in Jesus' name. And everybody said, can we just give the Lord a shout of praise today? Come on.